The following audio is from Central Christian Church, located in Portales, New Mexico. To connect with Central, go to centralwired.org.
I heard an old, old story. Amen. I heard an old, old story. How a Savior came from glory. How He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His glory.
Jesus is risen from the dead. We proclaim that belief.
I believe in the name of Jesus.
Anybody recognize one of these? Can I see your hands? Does those that know what this is? I thought this would be easy to find so I could do this. This took some struggles yesterday afternoon to try to find one of these things so I could use it. Do you realize they quit printing maps 6 years ago? They don't even print them anymore. They're hard to find unless you got one stuck back in a glove box somewhere. But, you know, the thing about it, whenever we needed to go on a trip and needed to go somewhere, we needed one of these, didn't we? To figure out how to get from point A to point B as we traveled. And usually, whenever you had one of these, it wasn't a one-man job, was it? It took two of you, didn't it? One to drive, well, really needed to be three. Took one to drive, one to read the map, and one to be the referee in the middle. Huh. Because it never failed. Well, you were supposed to turn there. No, I wasn't. You didn't. Yeah, you didn't. Anybody agree with it? Anybody been through this? Yeah. Me too. But here was the most frustrating thing about it, was trying to get this thing all back. Heck with it. We'll move on. And then they came out with this cool thing called GPS, Global Position System. That was awesome, wasn't it? And we all got us one of these things. A little dust on it. Suction cup on it, cables and wires running everywhere. Stuck it to the window. And the first bump you hit, it fell off and slid down into the dash or fell off plumb down into the floorboard. And you're trying to bail it out from down there. Next thing you know, you hear brrrr because you're running on the bumps on the side of the road. But it told you where to go, didn't it? That was cool. That was the neatest thing in the world. But, you know, every one of us that had one, if you missed the turn, what'd it do? Recalculating. Make a U-turn. I'm like, I can't make a U-turn. I'm in the interstate. I can't turn around right here. You know, everybody been there? Now then, and then they put them in our vehicles. We got flat screens in there and everything. I mean, there's some flat screens in some of these vehicles that's bigger than the TV I had in college nowadays. Honestly, these things are huge. I mean, and you're not supposed to get distracted while you're driving? Yeah, right. Anyway, but the first vehicle that we really had that had the GPS in the vehicle was that blue Dodge pickup. And I still drive it today, okay? And it's an 11 model, and there was a trip I needed to make. And I need to go to a meeting, go to a conference down in Las Cruces. And, you know, and for those of you who don't realize, I went to college in Las Cruces, okay? For 5 years I spent in Las Cruces. Yeah, I'm a little slower than most, okay? So it took me 5 years, not just four like most folks. I liked it, I guess. It was a good time. But anyway, but it was so long ago that whenever I went to college, I mean, you know, we had to go on the stagecoach and ride horses and stuff. You know, we had to fight off Billy the Kid as we went through the mountains. And you know, and I heard, Don, I heard that, you know, well, and, you know, it was so bad that it was uphill. Both ways, coming and going. And through 6 feet of snow, you know. And, you know, I heard, Don, that the reason that that sand down there is white is because of that 6 feet of snow. It just stained that sand, you know. I don't know any truth to that or not. Probably not. But anyway, would everyone in the room agree that I probably know where Las Cruces, New Mexico is? I know how to get there. I don't need GPS to tell me how to get to Las Cruces. But guess what? I had a new toy. I had a new gadget in this new pickup. So I needed to go to Las Cruces to a meeting. And usually a lot of times whenever I do those Las Cruces Albuquerque things, I'll just get up early in the morning and go, instead of going the night before and spend the night. Because to me, I'd rather see three sunrises versus one sunset. That's just the type of person I am. I like the mornings. And so I had to be down there by, you know, 8, 8:30, something like that. So whenever this thing starts, I figure, I'll get up. I'll leave the house about 4. It'll be perfect. Well, I had a new toy. So before I leave, I plug Las Cruces, New Mexico into that GPS and that pickup. And I back out of the driveway, put it in drive, and it flashes back up. And it says it's going to take me 5 hours and 15 minutes to get to Las Cruces, which means I'm going to arrive at 9:15. I looked at that thing. Have anybody ever talked to your vehicle? I looked at that thing, and I said, not on my worst day. It is not going to take me no 5 hours and 15 minutes to get to Las Cruces, New Mexico. Just not happening. No way. So out on the road I get, and it's early in the morning, so I'm kind of mashing on it a little heavy. Okay, we're scooting on down the road pretty good. And we get down and through the mountains and get into Alamogordo. And on the other side of Alamogordo, there's this big sign that has these yellow lights on it that could flash every once in a while. And those of you that have seen this sign, you know exactly what it says. It says if lights are flashing, expect delays ahead because they're what? They're testing missiles or something out there in White Sands. The lights were flashing. I said, no, it's a Tuesday morning at 6:30, 6:45 in the morning. They are not out testing missiles this early on a weekday. No way. So I keep on going out there. Guess what? They stopped me. I'm the second vehicle stopped. Military police there, and they stopped me. Well, at this point in time out there, no cell service. So I'm trying to call ahead to tell people, hey, I'm going to be late. I'm trying. I'm getting there. You know, no cell service. So I said, well, I'll try this texting thing. I'm not very good at that. But back then we had the phones just to get a C. You had to push the button 3 times, you know. Remember those days, some of you old folks? And I tried that and didn't work. No radio. You just sit there. And sit there. And sit there. And waited. And finally, the military police gets out of his vehicle. You're like, hey, here we go. We're ready to go. He might as well have had a green flag because it was just like the start of the Daytona 500. I mean, whenever he gave us a go-ahead, everyone just whoosh. We're gone. We're in the left lane. We're in the right. We're positioning. You're not passing me. You're looking in your mirror. You know, you're blasting down through there and up and over the Oregon Mountain to go and down into Las Cruces and into the parking lot of this hotel where this conference is. Does anyone want to take a wild guess what time the clock said in my pickup and I pulled into that parking lot? 9:15. It must have been my worst day. But, you know, I tell that story, and there's another part to it, and I didn't tell the other part to the other two services, but the Holy Spirit told me I need to tell the other part because it answers the test that I'm going to give you in a minute. And the other part of this story is I didn't tell you is that as I was coming down into Las Cruces, there had been a very, very, very bad wreck. There was a semi there, a motorhome, 3 or 4 cars. One of the cars, the top 2/3 of it was gone. I mean, they had us rerouted over onto the frontage road, and by it we went. And whenever I went by it, the ambulances were gone. Tow trucks were there. They were in cleanup mode is what they were doing. And I got to thinking, and I got to looking, and I kind of got to doing a little math in my head. If I hadn't have got stopped, if some of those things hadn't happened, I probably would have been right in the middle of that wreck, timing-wise. Might not have been, but I think I probably would have been. So pop quiz time. For you teachers out here, are you paying attention? A, was it pure D technology? B, was it a God thing? C, flat out coincidence. Doesn't have anything to do with it. Maybe it's D, maybe it's all the above. Or maybe even E, none of the above. I don't know. After I tell the second part of the story, I think without a doubt, B comes to mind very quick to me. That God kept me safe that day. And he delayed me. And I still got there and did my deal. But you know, we talked about GPSs and how cool that was to have them in the vehicles. And then guess what? They put them on these things. We don't even have to have it in our vehicles. We don't have to have all the cords. We got a GPS. If we need to know where the closest bathroom is, I'm sure it will tell us exactly what direction to go, huh? But it's so amazing, the technology and how it's come along and how I struggle with technology myself. But we, I get to talking about technology and you're like, well, where are you going with this, Mike? And how many people out in the world say, you know, this God thing, this Bible thing, this Jesus dude, that's all just pretty outdated. It's pretty old school. It's, you know, we don't really need that anymore. The technology will take care of us. We've got it handled. But do we? Just think about it. If we needed to get from point A to point B, we used to need one of these. Now we can use this to get from point A to point B. But at the same time, the Bible, I'm going to mess on stuff up here. Didn't it start out in paper form? And then it wound up going to a computer, a big one about the size of this organ. Remember having those on your desktop? And then guess what? They put the Bible on our phones. We can have the Bible with us 24/7. How could we ever lose connection with God? You know, and the next thing they did that was just so, I was so in awe with, they made it to where it would read it for you. Perfect for someone as lazy as me. It will read it for you.
He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. But here at this table, sitting among us as a friend..."
Stop. How cool was that? That we can sit there and we can have the Bible anytime. You know, in the Bible, we talk about the Bible, and you're like, well, yeah, but that Bible, it's so old school. But all the stories, the parables in it, the life lessons. If you have issues, if you have problems, the answers, they're right there. They have been, and they always will be. As we come to Resurrection Sunday, and we praise God and thank him for what he's done for us. I think they mislabeled it before. I think it should be WPS, the World Positioning System, because the other one's already taken, in my opinion. For GPS, in my opinion, stands for God's Positioning System. Let's pray. Father God, as we come to you this morning, wow, I'm just in awe of what you were willing to do for us. I love you, God, for what you've done. The sacrifice that you made, that you died on that cross, but yet today you rose. You are out of that tomb. And I'm so thankful you did that for me. I take every person in this room. They give thanks to you as well. Those of them online, listening on the radio, I ask that you give each and every one of us knowledge. You give us wisdom. You give us the power to spread your word, Jesus, as we go forth into the world. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
In all his mansions, there's not a room big enough to hold all of his awards. Sir Paul McCartney, not just any old guy. Guinness Book of World Records actually has him listed as the most successful composer and musician in pop music history. But after the Beatles broke up, thanks a lot, Yoko Ono, he had some rough days. And one of his memoirs, he talks about going to his home in Scotland and just getting drunk and staying high for weeks. So he said, how do you follow that? Can there be life after the Beatles? He said the turnaround started with three chords, E minor, A minor, and D to be exact. And he just started playing those chords on one of his guitars. And he said it made him feel optimistic. So he started crafting it into a song for his kids. Now, he didn't record it till years later. It wasn't one of his big hits, but it was a song of personal hope for him and his family, Linda, and at that time it was Heather, Mariana, and Stella. It's called Great Day. Here are the lyrics to the whole song. When you're wide awake, say it for goodness sake, it's going to be a great day. While you're standing there, get up and grab a chair, it's going to be a great day. It won't be long, it won't be long, ooh, it's going to be a great day. He goes on to say, I like the idea of a song saying that help is coming, that light is on the horizon. I have absolutely no evidence of that, he said, but I like to believe it because it lifts my spirits. Sir Paul did not realize how close he is to the truth. It is going to be a great day. It's Resurrection Day. It's Easter weekend. You see, for a preacher, it's kind of like Super Bowl Sunday, all right? This is my main one. I get hyped up for this because I get to tell the best story ever. But do you realize the first Easter wasn't a celebration? It wasn't a party and decorations. It was a bunch of people locked in a room in fear. And I want you to know, I think it's important you hear this. It is not where you hear the good news. It's where you look after you hear the good news. So this is a challenge to get our hopes up. We're in this series called Alive. The resurrection changes everything. Jesus is alive, and I believe he wants us to be alive too. But not just on that day, oh, sweet Beulah Land, over the Great Divide. I think he wants us to be alive on this day, too. In John chapter 11, after the death of Lazarus, Jesus is talking to Martha, and he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this, Martha? In the King James, believest thou this, Martha? And she says, oh, sure, everybody's going to be resurrected at the end times at the day of the Lord. And he said, I don't think you heard me. Did you hear the tense of how Jesus spoke? He said, I am the resurrection. Not I'm gonna be. I am right now. So that leads me to this question. Where and when is your hope? I know it's an odd question, but it's true. Where and when? We're going to be in Luke chapter 24. It's a story many of you might know. We're only going to look at one verse of it. But it's the story of two guys on the road to Emmaus. It's that Sunday night after Easter Sunday morning. They're walking on the road. It's about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they're talking amongst themselves. Another guy shows up next to them. Turns out it's Jesus, but he didn't let them know it was him. He asks them, so what's going on? And they look at him like he's from Mars. Are you the only guy that has not been paying attention to the news this week? Have you not followed Twitter or anything? What is wrong with you? Hey, here is what's going on. We had this guy. His name was Jesus. We were following him. And then everybody was really listening to him. And then he upset some of the leaders. And they threw him in jail. And then the Romans killed him and crucified him. Well, then these women folk come out today and said he's up and running around. But in verse 21, it says this. We had hoped that he was Messiah, that he would rescue Israel. We had hoped. Three of the hardest words we've ever heard. I got a hunch every single one of us have been on the road of we had hoped. Maybe some of you are on that road right now. You had hoped by now you'd be married. You had hoped that you'd get to take that big trip with your spouse or your family. You had hoped you'd get a good job. You'd hoped your marriage would last, that you'd get to grow old together. You had hoped that since you got this degree, you could find a job, any job. You had hoped the cancer wouldn't return. You'd hoped your child would get sober or get cleaned up or get out of that darkness that they're living in. Friends, nothing is sadder than hope in the past tense. But the hope of a Christ follower is much different. Romans 15, 13 says this, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust him. He says, then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. See, that's not past tense hope. That is now hope and then some. It is not looking backwards. Yet some still walk on that road of we had hoped. Read an article this week. Erica Commissar is a child psychologist, child psychoanalyst. She was interviewed in Wall Street Journal in 2019. She's big. She's written a lot of books about children and how do you talk to children about different things. She said, and some people started asking them, how do you explain things like death to children? And so she talked to them for a little while, and then she said, and then the interviewer asked her, how do you explain death to a child from somebody that's an atheist or an agnostic or they don't go to church? And her answer in the Wall Street Journal in 2019, you ready for this? Lie to them. That's what she said. Lie to them. Let me read you the whole quote. Maybe adults can have a worldview that life has no meaning and we all go back to dust and ashes, but kids can't handle that. In a world of school violence, broken families, and the threat of global warming, they need to believe there's something after, so lie to them. Shouldn't that show the ineptitude of a life without a value system? Shouldn't that show how vapid it really is? I mean, a worldview without Christ lives with such a fragile hope. And science and technology have promised us, oh, we're going to fix everything. We're going to make everything go away. All your problems are going to go away. We're going to get you health care. We're going to get you all the problems, all of global warming. Everything's going to go away. Everything's going to be fine. We just got to get smarter. Guess what? We still have problems. There's still problems out there. They had hoped. See, it's weird that sometimes we Christians are the same way. We look out there and we see all this bad stuff and they're coming to get Christians. They're going to hurt Christians. They're out to get Christ. Guess what? They've always been doing that. When the world screams out fear, sometimes it's us Christians that are the fear mongers. The cross should be screaming out hope. It does. It screams out hope. It tells us there is more than hope because of the cross. You realize the disciples weren't looking for Jesus. They were locked up in a room hiding. And the women weren't even looking for Jesus per se. They just went to pay respects. I remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about the angels saying, why do you look for the living among the dead? I got to looking at that this week. Do you realize they weren't looking for the living? They were looking for the dead among the dead. They went to pay respects to the dead. In fact, one lady said, can you tell us where you put his body? I want to honor his body. She wasn't looking for life. They expected him to be dead. But the resurrection changes everything. The resurrection shows the unstoppable sovereignty of God. It shows that he has never been out of control and never will be out of control. Even if this world is out of control, even if there's craziness out there and they're coming after all the bad people are coming after the good, God's never let loose of control. He's always been in control. There's a great philosopher, a guy named Charles Daniels, that said, When the devil got finished, Johnny said, well, you're a pretty good old son, but sit down in that chair in there. Let me show you how it's done. Some of you are going, wait a minute. You can't quote Charlie Daniels in church. That's exactly what Jesus did on that Sunday morning. Hey, devil, you did pretty good. You had 3 days. Now sit down. Let me show you how to do this. All right. He has never lost control. And the cross and the empty tomb should remind us of that. Did the disciples start this giant global movement because Jesus was a great guy? Did they do all of this preaching because he was one of the prophets? Because he was a super moral guy? He was a good teacher? No, they did it because he's alive. They went everywhere telling people, he's alive and he brings life to us. They did what they did because he did what nobody else had ever done. He came back from the dead. That's what the first gospel message was about. In Acts chapter 2, Peter stands on the southern steps of the temple that are still there today. And he says this, God raised Jesus from the dead and we are all witnesses of that fact. He is alive. He's not just a good guy. He's a guy they saw. And they preached at a time it should have been so easy to disprove this. I mean, again, granted, they didn't have CSI or anything like that, but it should have been fairly easy to prove. All right, everybody come over. Let's go look in the grave. There's the body right there. How did that work out for those guards? Remember those guards that were supposed to be watching? They bribed them, said, tell them that somebody came and took the body. Problem. We were there when that angel came, and I'm not going up against him, all right? It didn't even work then. You see, you couldn't disprove it then. You can't disprove it now. For 2,000 years, you have not been able to disprove the resurrection. Now, you can disbelieve it. There are people that just don't believe it. But you can't disprove it. That's what I love about my walk with Christ is he welcomes investigation. He invites rigorous inspection. Look for yourself. Not just Googling things. Really look. Read the books. Read the texts. Look at what he says. If you're really interested, you come to me afterwards. I'll give you a book by a guy named Lee Strobel called The Case for Christ. I keep extras over there. I'll give it to you, no cost whatsoever. Lee Strobel's wife came to know the Lord and got all fired up about this Jesus and all this stuff, and it made him mad. And he was a investigative reporter, so he took a year off from his job to write a book to prove how junk this Christianity stuff was. And 6 months in, they baptized him. Because every time he tried to prove it wrong, it just proved how great he really was, how great God is, and how much hope exists. Anybody ever heard of a movie called Star Wars? It probably snuck by a lot of you. It's not very famous or anything like that. There were originally three. There are only three. That's all there is. Those other ones are heresies, all right? It's just awful. But there was three, 1, 2, and 3, which really was 4, 5, and 6. And then they made 1, 2, and 3, which really should have been -3, -2, and -1. But, you know, we're not going to get into all that. In number 8, which wasn't very good either, and I don't even know what they were called. But in 8, there's a guy named Snoke. He's the bad guy, all right? He's a Sith Lord. And he's talking to a guy named Kylo Ren. Kylo Ren is the kid of Han Solo and Princess Leia. I love the glassy eyes I'm seeing right now. You're like, why are we doing this? So Kylo says, I've squashed the rebellion. I've killed the rebellion. And Snoke says, no, the son of Skywalker lives. And as long as he lives, hope exists. That was coming from the bad guy. As long as Jesus exists, hope exists. And it should change us. Charles Colson was special counsel to Richard Nixon during the Watergate investigation. He ended up going to prison. While he was in prison, he came to know the Lord, and he started a thing called Prison Fellowship. Thousands have been saved because of Prison Fellowship's incredible work. And he became a really great Christian author. He passed away a couple of years ago. I really like his books. And in one of his books, he said this, I know the resurrection is true, and Watergate proved it to me. Listen to this. He said, 12 men testified they saw Jesus raised from the dead, and they proclaimed that truth for 40 years, never once denying it, even under torture. They were beaten, stoned, imprisoned, flayed, crucified upside down, and never once recanted. They would not have endured that kind of torture if the story was a lie. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men on the planet, and they couldn't keep a lie intact for 3 weeks. He said, 12 apostles stay consistent in a lie for 40 years. Absolutely impossible. That's powerful right there. Romans 1 and verse 4, the verse that Marie read earlier, he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Present tense, he is our Lord. If that is not true, all of this is bogus. Christianity is a joke. If that is not true, guess what? That's true. We believe that in the core of our being. Hope exists because Jesus lives. And what we believe about the future and our future victory should affect how we live right now. It should change how we see things. Heard a story about a guy named Christopher Hitchens, so I looked him up. Christopher Hitchens was a famous atheist author. He wrote a bunch of books against God. In the early 2000s, wrote one called God's Not Great, How Religion Poisons Everything. And he went around the country touring, and he'd go to colleges, and he'd debate with Christians and show them all the mistakes and how old this book is and how outdated it is. And it's all a bunch of junk. He was a very well-known atheist. And in 2009, he was interviewed by a lady minister that is part of the Unitarian Universalist Church. Now, please hear me. I am not any way bashing any group ever, okay? I'm just saying, I want you to understand what some of the backgrounds. You can look on their website and find this. The Unitarian Universalist Church is a very liberal group. They do not accept miracles. They do not believe in atonement, meaning Jesus died for your sins. And they do not believe in the resurrection. And this lady is interviewing this atheist. And she asks this question. She says this, I'm not one of those fundamentalist Christians. I don't believe in all that resurrection talk. So do you feel different about me as a Christian? Now this atheist writer responds to him this way, ma'am, if you don't believe that Jesus is your Messiah, he died to pay the penalty for your sins and he rose from the dead, then you cannot consider yourself to be a Christian in any meaningful way. That came from the atheist. The atheist is the one that said, it's in the name, Christian. All right, I mean, come on, how could you miss that? You see, our hope is not in what we've done or how smart we are, how we've accomplished things. Our hope and our fear is not in what is going to happen to us. Our hope is alive. Our hope is the fact that he is alive, and it brings us hope. And these apostles, they didn't just proclaim the resurrection. They applied the resurrection. And that's what I want you to get today. Easter wasn't just a day for them. That was a lifestyle for them. It was something they did every day. Because that guy was raised on that Sunday, every single Sunday, every single Tuesday, every single Friday was, I got to tell somebody about him. I got to love somebody like he loved me. This thing is so amazing. He came back from the dead. That's hope. January 3rd, 1865, in the Kingdom of Hawaii, it was a sovereign state. On January 3rd, they enacted a law that dealt with this disease, leprosy. Leprosy had made a recovery or a resurgence, even biblical. It's the same kind of leprosy that is in the Bible. And so on that January 3rd, this law went into effect. Anybody suspected of or inspected and tested for, if you popped positive for that, they were exiled to Molokai, which is one of the middle islands, to a specific part of Molokai, which is on the northern side. It was a peninsula that came to be known as a leper colony. It had stiff, tall cliffs on this side, rocks, treacherous ocean. It was basically a natural prison. It just kept them all out there and kept them away from people. Over 8,000 people fell victim to this policy. And it became a, let's be honest, it was a de facto death sentence. If they sent you there, you weren't coming out, all right? And you just, you went there and you died. So nobody wanted to be there. Until May of that year, May 10th, 1865, a young man named Joseph de Vuesta from Belgium, he moved there willingly. Did not have leprosy. In fact, he asked to move there. He was a young Catholic missionary, and he had seen how Jesus loved people that were hurting, people that had leprosy, people that were prostitutes, people that had baggage. He said, I want to do that. I want to go where the people are hurting. So he spent the last 16 years of his life living with and serving people with one of the most contagious diseases our planet's ever seen. He served there for 16 years until he got the disease and he died 6 months later. Friends, you don't do stuff like that because Jesus was a nice guy. You don't live lives like that because he was a one of the prophets. Or you don't do stuff like that because his political views are aligned with yours. Or you don't do stuff like that because you'll get rich and famous. You serve God because you see what he did for you and others. The only people that can really deal with suffering are the ones that know this isn't all there is to this life. Easter Sunday. It's full of hope. My hope is built on nothing less than his righteousness. Not mine. Not how good I've been. I'm not going to trust this frame because I mess up. I'm going to lean on his name. There is power. There is healing in his name. Now, I'm not saying that you follow Jesus, you're not going to have any hurts, you're not going to have any pains, you're not going to have any scars, because we all know that's junk, because everybody in here has probably got scars, emotional, physical, otherwise. I am saying, though, that walking with Jesus, you have a Savior that understands suffering. Not only understands suffering, when you trust in this Savior Jesus, he is with you in your bad days and in your struggles. And he can even bring meaning and purpose to the struggles you're fighting through for my good and for his glory. And one day, he will bring an end to this suffering. He will bring an end, and we don't have to worry on which side of the political aisle we're on. We don't have to worry about who's coming after us, because our hope is not in me. Our hope is in him. Nothing is stronger than hope in the future tense, and nothing is sadder than hope in the past tense. That's what we declare on Easter. You see, Paul McCartney and Charles Colson and that young Catholic ministry all learned the strength of hope. Friends, if you know you will live after you die, it'll change how you live before you die. Because I know if it's 75 years or 95 years or whenever my time is up, my time's not up. I'm not done. I'm just done here. So I got to do more here, not because I have to, not because you are guilted into it, but because he's such a great God. We, as Christ followers, we live in the direction of the resurrection, and it should affect how we love on other people. So get your hopes up. Now, I want to conclude with a prayer. I'd love to say I wrote this, but I didn't. Our brother Paul wrote it in Romans chapter 15. I referenced it earlier. And I want to pray this over you, that you will hear this. This will resonate in your ears, and that you will leave with this prayer in your mind. Would you bow with me as I pray Paul's words over you? Romans 15, verse 13. Heavenly Father, I pray that you, the source of hope, will fill us completely with joy and with peace. Not because we've earned it, not because we've worked at it, but because we trust you. And Father, I ask you today that you will overflow our spirits with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you empower us to not just declare the resurrection, not to celebrate it once in a while, but to apply that resurrection to our hearts. You can heal brokenness. You can bring people out of darkness and depression and anxiety. You can unify families. You can mend wounded hearts. So, Father, give us that confident hope. May we go apply the resurrection to our community through Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to audio from Central Christian Church in Portales, New Mexico. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. To connect with us, visit our website at centralwired.org.